What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Breaking Barriers pod, where we're talking all things and anything basketball. I'm your co-host, GZ Hoops. Let me throw this no-look over to my boy real quick.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy Mark, a.k.a. Breaking Barriers Training. G and I both would like to express our appreciation for the love and support you guys have been showing. Please continue to tune in to each episode, and also go follow us on IG and Twitter, both at Breaking Barriers Training and GZ Hoops. Let me finish this bucket.
My bro, what's up?
What's going, Mark? How you feeling?
I'm chilling, man. It's been forever since we've been on here.
Bro, that's what... Our last episode was Sunday, March 5th.
Oh, man, that's what...
low-key, almost 2 months ago. Not quite.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of things going on between that time within the personal life and then obviously within the basketball world. So,
right.
We'll touch on some of that here shortly. But as always, bro, definitely want to give a shout out to actually not Anchor this time. That's crazy.
Yeah, we've been saying that. We've been saying that, you know, they've been making any changes. So we got to get right.
Right. So now we're recording through Spotify for podcasts.
Man.
I'm assuming Spotify threw a bag at Anchor. So shout out to Anchor for letting us do what we did for the last, what, like 3 years. But
man,
Spotify's
yeah, sure.
taking over, man. Shout out to everyone that's been tapping in, wondering where the pod's been. We know it's been a minute, but we're here, man. Episode 84 of the Breaking Barriers pod.
We appreciate it to everybody who's still sticking around, everybody who's checking on us. You know, like G said, man, we had some serious family issues. I had a death in my family. He had a friend, a death of a friend, family member in his family. So, you know, it was a lot to digest at the moment.
Definitely, this episode is dedicated to them for sure, first and foremost.
Definitely.
I mean, obviously, I moved back to the Pittsburgh area, been working some crazy hours.
Right.
With this whole training stuff. Job's going well, but things are going to be better in the coming weeks. You recently moved to a new house, correct?
Right.
I randomly had COVID for the first time, bro, which was crazy. I'm not even going to lie.
After the whole COVID wave is over.
I was down bad, bro. I'm not even kidding. I was down bad.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, of course, I remember we talked, but
man.
Yeah.
There's definitely been a lot of stuff going on since our last recording. So it's excuses. It definitely is, but it's never going to go away. Like, I know you feel the same way. We talk every day. Like,
yeah.
Over the last couple of weeks, when we've been planning to record, like we're doing now, normally Saturday mornings, like, I've been waking up like, dang, like, there's something I need to do.
Something we need to do. Something going on. It's just, you know, like we always say about things, period, bro. Life hit us. And, you know, obviously they wasn't too close to home deaths, but I mean, they was at the same time, you know what,
right.
I mean, what I mean by too close to home. So people don't take it disrespectfully. Like it wasn't a parent or, you know, a grandparent. That's
immediate
sort of,
family.
Exactly. So
but it's still family.
Exactly. You know, so I mean that I don't find that as an excuse. I find that as a truth. You know, life hit when sometimes when things hit you and you don't expect it, you got to be able to step back and, you know, take that time to reflect on things, or you ain't going to, I don't think you'll ever really be able to handle the situation properly as you should if you just try to keep moving on like things ain't never happened, honestly.
For sure, bro. And that's what, like, there was literally weekends where, like, yeah, let's record this weekend, and then boom, stuff like that happened.
Yeah.
Boom, the COVID thing happened. Boom, work, boom, whatever. So it's like things are going to be getting back to our normal here shortly, and we're blessed to just be able to record and just talk the game and get back to be doing what we enjoy, which is playing basketball, coaching basketball, talking basketball. Like the intro says, everything and anything hoops. That's really what Breaking Barriers represents. So
exactly.
We here, bro. We here.
We here. We ain't going nowhere. Y'all can stop asking the questions. You know, like we always say, man, we human too. We go through things. We got things going on, so it's not going nowhere.
Never.
If the app or anything else, take it away, we'll find something else. You know, it's, we just got to be able to take our lumps and bruises like everybody else. That's all.
For sure. And honestly, bro, within that little hiatus of no recording, we've still been very active throughout Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. So if you guys aren't following us on those platforms, please do. You've been going crazy with the reels lately. And I know you put it, you put out there on Twitter, like, you're playing a lot more. You're playing good basketball and you're falling back in love with the game.
Right.
Now, some people might be like, what do you mean falling back in love with it? Like, you're a basketball coach, a creator, whatever. Like, explain to the people what you mean falling back in love with the game. Because I get it, but a novice might not understand.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just, it's like, okay, we always said, we stepped away from the game because we wasn't playing no more. And for people who really play or played, I think that's like, they'll understand that's more of a culture shock, you know, than going to college or, you know, meeting new people, just because we go from making this our daily routine. Like, we have to implement basketball somewhere in our day because, you know, you got to train, you got to practice, et cetera. So, like, once you, like, don't have that same schedule or, you know, something going on, you always going to love the game because, you know, that's your favorite of something and that's something you love. But it's like, I didn't want to play the game for a while just because I wasn't playing organized basketball, you know. And I wouldn't say I fell out of love, but I didn't care to play. Once I started coaching and training, then that was like, all right, I could be at least around basketball again. Because I honestly, bro, I didn't see how I was going to be around or watch basketball for a while, you know, until I was able to let go of my inner self and demons and stuff about not playing no more. And then, you know, this famous story we didn't talk about 10 times, how I became a coach came about. Then one day, my boy Mike Porterfield, shout out to my sniper, Mike.
Sir, shout out, Mike.
You know, Mike, randomly, man, you want to hoop? And after that day, you know, I just gradually started hooping, and I saw how bad I sucked. And gradually over time, I started getting better again. And then, you know, it's just like, me and Ike talk about it all the time, bro. We scoring 20 and 30 points out of shape, like, if we was just still taking it serious, still doing what we need to do, it would be like, who knows what could pop up for us or opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just falling back in love with understanding, like, I can't just show up and score 20 or 30. Yeah, I do it sometimes, but it's not automatic. It don't matter if you're a bucket or not. You got to put in the work. And I'm starting to fall in love with actually wanting to get back in the gym again as well. So
that's dope, man. That's what, honestly, bro, like, especially since I've been in Pittsburgh, like, it's been – almost 2 months now, and I found runs. I play every Sunday. I've been playing at the local LA Fitness lately.
Right.
It's like, you definitely do notice that competitive edge playing like organized basketball versus playing standardized pickup. It's a completely different game, to be honest.
Yes.
Like, when I was out in Baltimore, I was playing in 2 to 3 leagues per week. Hence why I got hurt, to be honest, just running around crazy. So
that's like, he's 15 thing. Again.
That's one good thing. My leg's feeling cool because I'm not being out there wilding and stuff. But playing organized basketball definitely just brings about a different spirit in you. And it's like you said, like, it's not always about just going out there and killing, dropping 20, 30, 40 points a game. But it's just playing real basketball and just honestly enjoying competing again. Like, it's very hard to replicate high school and college basketball, but to us, going out there and playing in organized men's leagues is comparable.
That's our NBA. And it's like, as crazy as it sounds, this is not to get on the refs and, you know, make their life hell, but it's like, to know you just got a ref there. You go kind of argue with a ref, not argue in the sense like you want to be an asshole, but argue like, this feels like you said, as normal to a game for us as it could, because we're not, you know, doing what we doing in college or nothing no more. So,
well, bro, and it's like, when you're playing pickup, 1,000% at LA Fitness, all my LA Fitness hoopers can attest to this. Like, there's either one dude that thinks he's Braun, is just going to go crazy and try and wild out, or there's dudes like Brooks who are just trying to get up under your skin. And, like, it's almost not enjoyable, low-key.
It's not a match, like, bro.
No, it's a lot of isolation ball. It's a lot of one-on-one stuff. And it's just, like, goofballs running around trying to blow off steam after work, after school, whatever.
Or you said, with that, seen on TV.
Right. Like, what, like you said, like, with that ref, like, least there's going to be banter, but at least it's somewhat controlled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So, sure, I mean, falling back in love with the game is definitely a pivotal point in both of our lives leading up to this point. So I'm glad you're back in the game, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point now, bro. It's like, that's the only thing that I think to do or think of when I'm going through something again. You know,
100%.
Like, losing my cousin, it was like, that could have sent me back and be like, dang. Especially the way he died, you know, I could be like that and then just stop everything again and start over. But it's like, one, that ain't the type of person he is or want. So it's like, you don't do something that, you know, the person you miss and want. So obviously I got to keep going from that standpoint. Then I got family that depend on me as well. So, you know, I'm not the only one who lost them. So,
right.
You got to be there and be strong for everybody else. And then also, bro, it's just the fact, like, yeah, like, you know, you can use that as motivation to go hoop and be better, but I just use that as a sense of therapy for me. So,
it's your time. It's time to get away.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm there with everybody else. They might know about my problem, but it's not like where they got to keep coming up to me and talking to me about it as if I was in the street. Like, you know, I know this is a basketball podcast, but I just get it out there. Like, bro, when somebody lose somebody, stop trying to make sure they want or get everything they want, or they trying to talk about that person, because that's not what that they need, you know? And it's like, bro, I ain't gonna lie, for like probably about the 1 or 2 weeks I rode around the city with just straight shade on. Not even because my eyes were nothing, bro. I was just trying to stay away so that, you know, like, that was building up anxiety, seeing people doing all that. And it was just like, as crazy as it sounds, I get to the basketball court and it's like, it's relief. You know, people out there talking smack, and you know, that might be the last of your words you need to hear because of what you're going through. But that was like, that put me in my element to be able to deal with what I'm going through. So, definitely.
Man. And so, yeah, like you said, like, this is a basketball podcast, but we always relate all of our conversations back into real world situations. Like,
right.
We're never just going to sit here. We've talked about it. Like, I will never just sit on this recording and throw out stats and numbers and comparisons. Like, that's, no one wants to listen to that anyway, honestly, bro.
At all.
If you want to, you can just watch ESPN. So,
facts.
People that tap into the Breaking Barriers pod, like, they know it's basketball with a twist of reality, which is why people tap in. So, I mean, with that being said, too, I mean, I know you've been running with the Breaking Barriers group. Right. In the coming weeks, I only have 2 more weeks of this whole training thing where I'm driving 40 minutes to and from work. I'm going to have a lot more free time.
Yes,
I'm going to be able to get down to Mercer County. It's only about an hour away, hour and 20, give or take. I'll be able to hoop more.
Yes,
I definitely want you and Ike to come out this way, check out the Sunday stuff I found. Then I also just got invited to a Pittsburgh Pro-Am.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even talked to you about that yet. That just happened last night.
I saw that this past summer. That mess was cracking.
Shout out to one of my former players from Northwestern, Malachi Schaefer. I think you know him. He follows you, I'm pretty sure. He plays at Point Park right now.
Yeah, I was the one that was talking crazy in my DM.
No, I think that was Cam. That might have been Cam.
One of them go to Point Park, I think. Well, what's
Cam,
your one?
Cam was supposed to. I'm not going to get into all that.
No. Cam was talking about football.
Okay.
This one, what the other one was talking about.
Malachi, I know he's probably listening. He's just a troll. Like, for real, he's just a troll.
Nah, I didn't take it to the heart.
Good,
it was
good
funny.
Kid, though. Yeah, works hard. I'm not going to get into all his business either, but he is going to be transferring from Point Park for basketball purposes, so I'm excited to
Shout
see where
to
he
him.
Ends up. But he tapped in with me recently and said a couple of his teammates and older guys are trying to play in this Pittsburgh Pro-Am. Do I want to play? I'm like, sure, why not? I just got added to this chat yesterday. It's supposed to start up at the end of May, I guess. More details to come. I'll let you know. We'll talk about it on the pod, that kind of thing. But definitely excited to get back into, like we've been talking about here shortly, like organized basketball at a higher level.
Real I'm going to say real hoopers, bro. And don't forget, you got a lot of basketball coming up here too now. So that Kennedy
Dude,
League is coming
that's,
up.
We need to do that, bro. Drew, I'm not even kidding. I'll drive back.
100%. So listen to this. Drew hits up never mind. I'm not going to say dude's name because as soon as you hear it, it's over. Like, we might have to turn the pod off. So Drew hits him up, and I don't know how close or how far it is, but the dude hit me up. And long story short, no, not running with him. So I got to find out when Drew was planning on starting, so then I can get back to you about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely down, bro.
Yeah, because we're going to be putting us in that. We're going to be in about three things, men's mm-hmm. league. So.
Well, 1,000%. And that's the thing, too, man. Like, now that I am closer, and once the summer months come, obviously, and, like, honestly, all the vibes are just better. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, it's dreary, it's cold, it's rainy. Summer months, everyone's mindset is just better.
Yeah, for sure.
So, in that sense, too, we need to talk about organizing some sort of camp, man.
Listen, me and Ike was supposed to be talking about that. I had came up with this crazy idea about that, and I want to do something like an NIL deal for kids around here.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you post about that, too.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get all that stuff into sorts. And, bro, honestly, breaking barriers, us as men's league, we about to get alternate jerseys, too. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I have that written down, too.
Yep, so we got to – it's a lot of stuff we trying to do, bro. Like, it's – I'm trying to put it to light, but then I don't just want to rush it and it don't – if fail, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you got to fail, but you want to be able to at least have your I's dotted a little better, your T's crossed.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You want to be able to have something to at least start off on. So if it do fall back, you got a foundation to at least be able to build off of that.
Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Like we said, like we haven't recorded in a minute, but we're still actively working towards the brand as a whole. So it's like, I think that's a reminder too. Obviously, the podcast is a big portion of Breaking Barriers, but this isn't the only thing we do.
Nah,
in regards to the basketball stuff. So.
And they don't even understand. You don't live here, and we still make a lot happen.
Bro, we made it work for damn near 4 years. I was 5.5 hours away.
And people don't even understand. Like, sometimes G was plugging me in with people that he don't even live here to talk to no more. So mm-hmm. it's not always about where you at being present. It's about how you're being present behind mm-hmm. the scenes. So, yes, we're still working. Got a lot going on.
That's why we're a W duo, bro. It just works
always.
Out for real.
Oh, even when somebody else flagged us a lot, it's still a dub for us because we take the little steps. You know, mm-hmm. That's all you can do.
For sure, bro. So exciting stuff for the brand, for Breaking Barriers, GZ Hoops, everything as a collective. Let's talk about a little bit, obviously, more into the standard basketball world. Now, like I said earlier, man, there's been so much that's happened since our last recording. If we talked about literally everything we wanted to, we'd be here for like 12 hours. So we're not going to do that. I do want to at least bring notice to UConn. They ended up they did win their 5th championship in program history over a solid San Diego State team. It's
kind of
crazy that we didn't do one episode during March Madness. But
I think we was just so locked in, to be honest.
Yeah. So
if you look at our message, it's crazy. 100%.
I was just going to ask you, do you think now with UConn winning that 5th chip, are they considered a blue blood?
I don't understand why they haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really obviously know the numbers of total championships among schools. That's mm-hmm. not – we really got to, you know, Google or nothing. But mm-hmm. it's just – I know between I want to say Kentucky – maybe somebody else. I don't know. That's why I said I'm not going to try to pick.
No.
But I know Kentucky got a lot as a program. UNC, I want to say, got about.
UNC.
Got five. They both got 5 apiece or something like that. So it's
bro.
It's not really a lot of programs with a lot of national championships besides Kentucky, really. So it's like, I know Coach K was there for all that time. So that's why they're considered one. But
mm-hmm.
Duke got 5 there, Blue Blood. UConn, they're never really out of it. They just don't win it every year.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what—that's what I was thinking. Like, obviously, whenever college basketball, they talk about the big name programs, like we just said, Duke, UNC, Kentucky, Kansas. They're considered the blue bloods, right? Because they get the top recruits, they win a lot of games, they win championships, whatever. UConn—they're not as flashy in the sense of honestly the location of the school, and then also they just don't. They don't always bring in, like, the top dog recruit. They get, obviously, high-level caliber players, but it's not like the 5-star McDonald's All-Americans, multiple of them every single year. So I just thought that was interesting. Like, UConn, to me, is a blue blood, but they don't always get the recognition as one. So
shout out to their coach. What's their coach name? What's their coach name? His dad is a legend himself. Bro, we're horrible. I was just looking at the family tree the other day too.
Dan Hurley.
Dan Hurley. Shout out to him because you know what? He literally got the job 2 years ago and said when they was losing, you know, he said, everybody have fun now because in 2 years it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And what a quote to live by and what a quote to prove right. Because, I mean, if you look at it, bro, that showed his hungriness, his determination toward the kids, the program. And honestly, you know, just got to give a shout out to him. You know, his brother is a national champion at Duke. His dad got 28 state championships as a coach.
That's crazy.
I mean, like, bro, I would have been retired after 10. Damn, you got 28. Like, what you trying to do? Get 100? But, you know,
national championship
as a coach, Hurley does as well. So it's like he said in an interview, now he can sit at the table with his dad and with his brother. You know, that's special because that showed underdog story for him mm-hmm. coming up in a family who seemed like they always won.
And I love hearing stuff like that, bro. Like the whole basketball pedigree stuff.
Yeah.
Like that inspires me. Obviously, mm-hmm. like my family's not the biggest basketball family, but I want to create that.
Right.
In,
same
in
here.
My being, right. So, yeah, it's just it's cool to hear, man. It definitely is.
Right. For sure.
One other thing within the whole college basketball stuff. Since March Madness has ended, the transfer portal has been absurd.
Oh, wait. Not to cut you off, we got to shout out LSU women, or then
yeah,
everybody
you're right,
will
you're
say
right, you're right.
We're disrespecting the ladies. Shout out to LSU because my ladies folded. Y'all bought a home for the SEC.
Angel Reese from Baltimore, Maryland was going crazy.
Deserves it. She deserves it. She everybody does. Treated her wrong. She's a queen. She's flashy, but so what? You got to have confidence.
She's smart, bro. She's capitalizing off all this NIL stuff. Like, bro, she's just a genius, bro.
They just asked her. Did she want? Was she like? Since she did everything she needed to do in college, as far as award wise,
I'm gonna make more money in college. Who
exactly? Do you want to go pro? She said, "I'm not rushing to get there. I'm making more money than some ladies in the WNBA."
Mm-hmm.
That's smart. And why not rack up your championships if you can? So shout out to her. She's a queen. Shout out mm-hmm. to LSU as a whole. Coach Mokey, she's the GOAT.
That's she's the GOAT.
Number four. Then she. Goals, and you know, we'll talk about that because you just brought that up. But
that's what I was just gonna say. It leads into the whole transfer portal stuff that correlates to the women's game, too.
Yes,
Haley Van Lith, who is a big name in the ladies' basketball scene, been a dog at Louisville. Now she just committed to LSU as well.
Yes,
that
which is scary.
People are saying, like, if this is in NBA terms, it's like KD joining the Warriors.
I mean, you gotta think about it. Is that the same as if she just coming out of college and chooses them? I mean, out of high school and chooses them?
I mean, that's what, like, this whole – the whole portal game is so dynamic in the sense that, like, it's unpredictable as hell. Like, she could have went wherever she wanted. Because, yes. Remember, she stated, like, she was a non-contact player. Like, she had to contact the school to initiate interest. So, obviously, yes. She had a school in mind – a la LSU, but like Duke, UNC, like whoever, South Carolina, they couldn't even reach out to her because she stated, like, do not contact me.
Exactly.
So where other people in the portal are like, please reel me in. Like, I need to talk to anyone and everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and seeing it from that point of view, when you saying that, because I honestly did not know, like, she was in there, but like, was like, don't talk to me or mm-hmm. able to be talked to. So that I could see the sense of the KD in that sense is because she was like, all right, I felt like she was looking at whoever won a national championship, that's where I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But did it get
much? I mean,
I see her as a dog, like you said, and Coach Mulkey is a dog as a coach.
Bro, for I'm not going to lie, bro. That pick and roll is going to be stupid.
Bro, for people who don't watch coaches, like, listen, I'm like, I don't know. I'm weird like this. Like, whatever season I'm in, that's what I'm watching. So, like, when I'm in basketball season and I'm coaching, I'm looking at straight coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching the game, of course, but I'm watching how coaches react. I'm Googling stuff about coaches, their playbooks, all that. But, like, when it's basketball season, or for me, like, in the men's league, I watch hoopers now. Like, you mm-hmm. know, stuff like that. So, like, mm-hmm. bro, I don't think they understand. Like, Coach Mulkey is a dog. Like, your defense is going to be A1 to play for her. You know, so, like, Haley Van Lith has that dog in her. And then I think she was just searching for a coach who has that same mentality as her.
Well, when she was coaching at Baylor, correct, what, 2 years ago?
Right.
Haley Van Lith, Baylor was her second choice out of high school. So it's not like this is such like a random commitment or random connection. Like they've had communication over the last how many years?
She left Baylor 2 years ago. Haley gonna be this her fourth year, so that's about 4 or 5. Yeah, 4 years, 5 years. Ain't no telling how much earlier.
So like, I mean, even throwing it back to high school, like they were in talks, and it was very close to her going to Baylor. But then she said, "No, I'm gonna go to Louisville." So like, I guess I'm pointing out like it's not such like an oddball connection. Like they have a history. Like obviously they wanted each other years ago. Now the timing's just right.
I mean, and my thing is though, this speaks to kids. Not to cut you off, you're gonna speak. This speaks to kids. Sometimes you got to stop trying to follow the fact that oh, I'm this person. I'm that. I can do this. I'm this nice. This team just needs a player like me. Like stop thinking like you're the missing piece or you'll be able to carry a program, because in reality, college is different. You might have been able to carry a high school program through whatever, but going to college, you got to find people that fits your game, coaches that fits your game. And honestly, I feel like if Haley had chose her instead of Louisville, who knows where her career could have been and could have been better. She obviously could have been a national champion had she went to Baylor and then transferred as Coach Mulkey transferred. But same time, she probably had to learn for herself. Like, you know, this wasn't where I needed to be. I loved hearing this coach, but, you know, maybe I need to see what this is about as well.
And obviously, she was cool at Louisville. She scored, like, over 1,500 career points.
Which is insane.
She graduated in 3 years with her undergrad degree. Sure. I mean, like, the Louisville chapter of her life was a success. But now it's like, okay, what's next?
Right.
So I really don't blame her, to be honest. I mean,
so technically, how many years does she got left, bro?
I don't know. Now, does she get two with the whole COVID year? Or, like, when does that end? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, like, bro, like, this is how confusing this stuff is, right? The girl, Raven Johnson from South Carolina, was a freshman last year. She got injured, though, so that might be why hers.
Medical red shirt.
But she's a freshman all over again. And I was looking at that, and I'm just like, what the hell? So, but then yeah, I had to think about it. So I
like,
don't know.
These kids over the last couple of years, like, they've had, if they got her a medical red shirt, like a standard freshman red shirt and a COVID year. That's why you see people in school for like 7 years.
Man.
But I really don't know. That's a whole different topic, for real, for real.
Yeah, but with
the portal stuff, bro, like you kind of hinted at it in regards to Haley, like finding your true fit, or all players, like going to where you know you're going to make an impact and get the best out of yourself and the program.
Right.
With this whole portal, everyone going anywhere and everywhere, does this hinder the opportunity for high school athletes and like JUCO guys and girls or D2 guys or girls that are trying to make that jump, or does that help them? Like there's a fine line.
I feel like it hurts the high schoolers more than other college players. Only because I say that is because shout out to Sonny Johnson out in Cleveland. His Instagram is Neil Youth Elite, I want to say, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, prayers to them as well, that he just lost his father to cancer. So, you know, prayers to them. But,
prayers, man.
Shout out to Sonny Johnson, man. If you don't follow him, go follow him. Because also I brought him up in this is because he literally, during his season, bro, he was talking to one of his seniors about this, G. And it's like, I don't know if I sent you the video or even if I didn't. Like, you literally just hit the nail on the head of what he was saying. He was basically saying the transfer portal messed up the game for high schoolers, not in a bad way, but it kind of took you back now because we could go get another guy who was already in college. Even if he was at D2 or anything, he's established to how college is ran. So now we could take a guy who's already going to be in college shape, understand the college realms of things, all these type of, you know, little things that coaches look at. Compared to, I could take a guy who's 18, but I don't know if I could depend on him. I don't know if he's going to be able to last through school. I don't know if he could take my – all those little type of things, you know, the portal is what helps these guys in college because they're already established through college programming, you know.
Right.
So, it's obviously – they still got to recruit guys coming in from high school, so it don't hurt them that bad. But, I mean, you know, it kind of takes away from them, whereas – you know, those guys were the main focal points, to where now we could get a guy who still got 3 years left or 2 years or even 1 year, but he could be the missing piece we need coming in with freshmen
to make that deep run. Yeah, exactly. I think like you said, like as a coach, you'd rather get a guy who's kind of been around the college game and can make a direct impact quickly as opposed to taking a 17, 18-year-old kid that you might need to develop. Now, I will say, I think this doesn't hurt the five-star, four-star recruits out of high school.
No, not at all.
But, like, the three-star and below, like, that's what is really impacted are the no-name guys. And, I mean, that's not me throwing shade. Like, I was a no-name guy, too. But, like,
it's reality, though.
Yeah, it makes it that much more difficult to get noticed and to even just have the opportunity to play at that D1 level. But then again, it also can widespread the talent across Division I, Division II. Like, more teams can be more competitive based off maybe some of those guys that might go to, let's say, I don't know, Duquesne or Robert Morris, like a mid-major school.
Right.
Maybe they didn't get the recognition because of guys transferring into those schools. So now they go play at, I don't know, some other random school. And now that program gets boosted up. So, like, I don't know. There's pros and cons, obviously. But, yeah, it's definitely an interesting tidbit and a twist to the whole college basketball scene, both on the men's and women's side.
It's crazy, bro, because, like, I keep using him as a reference. But Sonny, like, he told his player, like, if you're running and you're not running hard or you're jogging, a coach is automatically going to go and look at the next guy. You know, little things like that.
There's a 21-year-old guard at Richmond who can come take your spot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Different game, bro. So,
in a different even
like
business,
that Max Amos or whatever going to Texas. Like, there's a lot of moves that are being made that, like, maybe people wouldn't have ever happened if this whole portal thing didn't come about a couple years ago. So,
exactly.
It's college basketball is back. Yeah, college basketball is more exciting now than it was a handful of years ago. I can attest to that.
Yes, and you know, I'm looking forward to continue to see it grow. Man, I mean, you know, I figured sometime this was gonna come in, something like this would be able to come in, because I mean, obviously guys was able to transfer out, but it was a little harder than, you know,
they were sitting out a year, bro. It was like a negative to transfer.
Right. Whereas now you could you got that portal in. You basically transferring, you like a new freshman coming in, even though obviously you're not a freshman, but just like, you know, that's how the move is. You don't got to sit out a year. So, I mean, you know, obviously they ain't going to put it to where it'll hurt the game, I feel like. So, you know, keep it growing. Keep helping kids to get to where they need to be better, not to where they want to go and drop 30 and just be their own man.
For sure. And that's what, I mean, that's what we're trying to do throughout our day-to-day. But a couple more things about this college stuff before we take a commercial break and dive into the NBA playoffs. He's on the graphic, and it's just because we talk about him frequently on the show.
Right.
Mikey Williams, he was arrested earlier this month on 5 charges of assault with a weapon and 1 count of firing into an occupied vehicle. This could lead to 28 years in prison. He recently paid $50,000 in bond. There's a preliminary hearing scheduled for June 29th where he has to be there in person. A couple weeks ago, he did like a some sort of hearing, but it was all virtual based off like threats, and they didn't want him in-house, basically. I was just reading that this morning.
He got threats?
Yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, what's your quick 2 cents on his situation? I mean, it's all gunplay, bro. Like, what are we doing?
Stupidity. That's all I got. I mean, like I just said, bro, I just lost my cousin to that. So
I know. That's why I don't want you to harp on it too much, obviously. But yeah, if you could give a message to someone like Mikey or any other upcoming prospect.
There is nothing in that realm. If you are not safe where you at, let somebody know and do your best to get around it. Because once you're gone, you're gone. That's the harsh reality to it, bro. Like, you can't play with them because those things ain't nothing to be played with. They're really to protect you when you need it. Not to be out here flashing them and saying you him. And, go be him on the court.
Right. And that's like with Mikey messing around with that stuff. I mean, we've seen it in recent years. Brandon Miller, Amani Bates, like all that. I don't know what you are trying to prove.
John Morant.
Yeah, John Morant. I mean, like you just said, like, prove yourself on the basketball court and be a better person off the court. Don't be messing around with that stuff. So I hope Mikey's situation is alleviated in a safe manner. Hopefully he learns from that situation. Hopefully he's able to grow and attend and be able to play and do everything at Memphis that he's like destined to do.
Right.
But it's just it's a tough situation, man.
And we're not jumping off the boat, guys, for everybody that think we're dogging him.
No,
we still support him. That's
100%. It's just we want him to be the best version of himself.
That's exactly. All. And we brought this to light for younger guys that's out there listening, man. Put the guns down. Stay away from the guns. Stay away from the streets. Stay in the hoops.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Books, too.
Yep.
Keep your faith in, man. Just be great elsewhere. The streets is not where it's at.
Facts. And Bronny James, still not committed, bro.
We need it. You all at the games and everything, but we don't know where you're going.
Something has to happen soon. And then I just want to bring light to a couple of our guys back home. We've had one of them on the podcast a couple years back, Maceo Austin. He is returning to the basketball court after taking a little bit of time off from he was attending and playing at Duquesne University, D1.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Big Mace.
Mental stuff. And Ike Hurster, who was playing at the D2 level at Gannon University, my alma mater. Both of those guys recently committed to Slippery Rock University.
Former state champion teammates together. And now they plan on going to make some big noise at Slippery Rock. So shout out to Ike and Mace, man. I'm just happy for them to keep their career going, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we always say, we want them to do more than we did. So
It's dope that they're able to go, quote unquote, home and play together again. It's just exciting for Kennedy fans, Mercer County fans, and obviously their families as a whole. And I think we're definitely going to have to at least go to one of those games this next season, bro.
We'll be there. I'll probably have to hit that and IUPs because I gotta go see my boy Ethan Porter.
For sure. For sure, bro. Maybe we'll try and get – we got to get some of them on the podcast soon. But
oh, yeah, for sure. We got to hit this commercial.
Let's get this commercial going, bro.
Yes, sir. And we back. Everybody that's out there listening, we say this every time, man. Tap in, man. We need a new commercial.
We do.
We're trying to promote more. So, yeah, we was off our little hiatus, but we back. So give us something to talk about.
For sure, bro. Whether it's a brand, whether it's a profile, whether it's a business, anything. Like, just like us, we're trying to grow. We want to help y'all grow, too. So moving forward, brother, real quick, because like, we could be sitting on here for hours and hours based off us not recording in a little bit.
Right.
One quick thing. I'm talking to Sam Crow right now. Shout out to Sam. You're right now.
Crow.
Fan of the show and obviously a big basketball junkie just like us. He was texting me last night. It just carried into this morning. He was saying we need to get back the Discord and try and establish a Discord where guys and gals, whoever want to tap in, are continuously talking about basketball, especially during this NBA playoff time. Where low-key, I've kind of forgot we had one. Remember, we have a Breaking Barriers Discord.
Bro,
I clicked on it last night. Bro, we haven't done anything since, like, February of 22.
I ain't gonna lie to you.
Deleted the app, crazy.
Been deleted.
That's what I told Sam. I was like, well, technically we have one. Because he said, like, me and him should start one. Which I was like, well, we kind of already have one established.
Right.
If we just start talking in that more. And that's on me and you, too. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not on my phone much. Like, if I'm at work, I'm not on my phone. If I'm at home, like, I'm watching the game or I'm honestly watching, like, YouTube basketball or just chilling. So, if anyone wants to tap into more of a Discord-type setting where it's just free open game, anyone can talk the game of basketball, whether it's NBA, college, whatever, we'll try and plug that again. I still have the link, or I should be able to share it. I'll throw it on Twitter and Instagram here today.
I ain't gonna make no promises. It'd be so hard to even tweet on the Breaking Barriers Twitter.
I know.
So it's like, you know, that'd be like tweeting all over again.
Mm-hmm. That's what it'd be. It's more for not necessarily us, but just getting a collective group that want to talk the game. They can
definitely though
text amongst themselves because like. It is like obviously me and you have that luxury of just talking me and you like about whatever's going on in the scene. Right. Maybe other people want to talk to some people and they don't have that homie or that buddy or whatever. So like
Facebook is perfect for that because then we can have Ken. Shout out to Ken Moyer.
True.
We can have him share it and you know we'll have a lot more people hop in there for sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'll share that link today. Shout out to Sam Crow for the idea, man. So you got to be active, Sam.
Crowy.
But let's talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs, bro.
It's a parade inside my city, yeah.
Man, what's up? What's up with your boy Ja, bro?
He's goner. Listen, we got to start with that just because
I'm with
since my boys can't handle it and I feel like we're going to lose in game seven, I got to shout my boy G out since his bands could close the series. You know, listen, man, that's a prime example of a team who didn't win nothing, who got in the way and let last year's success carry over into this year and – you know, thought it was going to be the same as last year. They were just going to pick up where they left off. Regular season-wise, you did, maybe. But playoffs is a different ball game. How many times did we say that, bro?
The Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm not trying to hate too much, because obviously they're high level. They're in the NBA. Like, they're good at basketball. And they're making good money. They're doing what they like to do. But the like, fake villain stuff that they're trying to incorporate is just corny to me.
How the hell did you become a villain after making the playoff 1 year and going to the second round?
Like, what is their overall demeanor? I don't understand what they're trying to come about. Like,
can we break it down?
I'm honestly surprised Steven Adams isn't like, yo, like, y'all are embarrassing.
I mean, yeah, from what they say, they say he do say that in the locker room for the most part. But even though he's the leader from years-wise, Ja is the considered leader because
he's a superstar.
Exactly. So let's break it down real quick, right? Ja been in the league for now, what, 5 years? Six years, maybe. Okay. How many years of those have he made the playoffs?
Or no, nah, because Trae Young just finished year five.
Right. So he's a year behind Trae Young?
I think so.
Okay. So let me look that up while I continue. So, okay. So out of how many years have you been in the playoffs, Ja? How many years have you been one of the top seeds? You've been the top seed for 2 years, and you haven't won nothing, okay? You have not won nothing. You won a playoff series against the Timberwolves.
And then you got your right-hand man, Dylan Brooks, saying that he wants to challenge LeBron James. He's too old.
Come on, man.
He wants to poke the bear.
This was year four.
He'd rather play Miami Heat LeBron. Like, bro, what are you talking about?
And you can't even make a damn shot. This is – okay, so he came in the league in 2019, so this is year four. Okay, so you've been in the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. You played the first year you didn't make it, I don't believe. Then the next year you played the Warriors for the play-in. And you won and was the eighth seed and lost. And then last year you was the second seed and lost to the Warriors in the second round. Okay, you got hurt. You can't control that. Then this year you didn't know if you wanted to be NBA Youngboy or Russell Westbrook. So, you know, you was in between them phases and came back and didn't hurt your hand. From barely being back long, you hurt your hand. And that carried over into this playoffs. And that predominantly changed the series, if you ask me.
I just like – all the videos and all the clips I see throughout Instagram, TikTok, like, of their banter, their dancing, like, all that. It's just so corny, bro. Like, I just can't get behind them. Like, I don't know.
I understand the teamness, you know, like, the dance and stuff, because my boys, the Warriors, do it. All NBA players do it. You know, that's like a loose enough thing. Okay, I get that. But the walk around, and you got Dylan Brooks with shades on and this big-ass chain on, like he's Jaw.
They just hold themselves to a different standard, which,
come on, man.
You said, like, they haven't won, so therefore you really can't yet. Like,
that's like LeBron when he lost to Dallas in the finals when he first got to Miami, walking around celebrating. Yeah, we the best thing walking. Y'all just lost to a team who y'all was supposed to sweep in everybody's eyes. You know what I mean? And that shows the difference of how serious it was amongst the media and the NBA players back then, even in 2010 and 11, to now. Like, Ja and them could lose, and everybody's still going to go and talk about how he's one of the best players in the league and how next year they're contenders again. But in reality, we're reading that they wanted to get rid of Dylan Brooks during the season.
But during the season, during the series, now that the series is over, like, he's probably sweating, bro, to be honest.
I mean, bro, he should be. Him and Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane played a good series. He was big, but this is my thing. You're walking around talking about how you're the best shooter. Your only shooter that's better than you is Klay Thompson. So, no, there's no Steph Curry in the world. No Damian
Lillard. There's no Dame Lillard. Yeah, bro.
Come on now. And then you talk about even Klay Thompson got to show you why he's a better shooter than you. But that's why everybody fear Clay every time he touches the ball. I'm gonna be real with you. When Desmond shoots the ball, I don't be worried about it.
No one's like holding their breath when you shoot the ball, bro.
No, not at all. So You know, they're big headed. They're too. That's all.
That's really what it comes down to. Like the cockiness, we've talked about it. There's a difference between cockiness and confidence, and their cockiness is just too much for me. I'm very happy that LeBron and the Lakers got that job done last night. So they capitalized the series 4-2. They're either going to face your Warriors, which the whole Bron versus Golden State rivalry as a whole is always enjoyable basketball. It's always good basketball. So that can be fun on one end of the spectrum. On the other end, if they end up playing Sacramento, that can be like the early 2000s, but like new era Lakers-Kings rivalry revamped. So I know I you the want Kings, the Warriors to win.
But I got, but yeah. I got the Kings.
They're going to – I mean, it's game seven at home.
We fold it. And I don't see how we can deal with that energy. We peaked out game five. We, you know, we slipped that out, and I felt like game six was the game we were supposed to close out, end everything, and just show, like, we're the defending champs and we know how to win when it really mattered. And I feel like we let them come out and push us around and take the energy. And
That's what I was going to say. I feel like Sacramento just – especially last night, they looked like they wanted it more. And
they played like they was the sixth seed.
It's an end-all, be-all game. Like, how are you not going 110%? Like, I'm sorry, we were texting about it. Jordan Poole, he was just tripping last night, literally and figuratively.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I don't know what the hell he was on, bro.
I'm glad you brought that up because, like I told you through the message, bro, I defend him all the time. Like, people be sitting under – like, that one dude that sent you that said Jordan Poole sucks. He's not a good basketball player.
Yeah.
Like, that's outrageous, okay? Like, we know he don't really mean that. And he could mean it, but we know that's obviously not true. He wouldn't be in the NBA. But at the same time, you know, it's a lot of people that say stuff like that. Like, oh, he's never going to be able to fill Steph's shoes if Golden State want to sign him long-term because he don't play winning basketball. And then you look at that game yesterday, and it's like, how are they wrong? Because he's not playing winning basketball. Like, yeah, like, bro, like the one play where he took that shot and ran into the fucking hoop after he laid it in. Like, come on, bro. Like, you knew he was out of control. Like,
on the when it was a fast break on the left side.
Yes. And it's like, you know, I see people on there, like, I see trolls on the internet. Like, how can these NBA trainers who never played in. And that was a prime example of how, right there. Because Jordan. You're an NBA player. Okay, yeah, you're in a heated moment. We all make stupid plays. Even us in the men's league still, we make stupid plays. That's why we're not in the league. Mm-hmm. But you mean to tell me you take a flying layup and hit the side of the rim when you went from dang near the free throw line when you could have took one more dribble, got him in the air, laid it up, or dished it off to the guy on the side of you?
Mm-hmm. That was like, really a play where it was just like, he was going 100%, like he was just going full speed.
No attention.
He had no idea of what he was going to do with the basketball. He just was going towards the hoop and then said, oh, shit, and threw it up.
Like, exactly, bro. And exactly. And it's like, it's little stuff like that. Like, we as analysts and basketball players ourselves, obviously got the IQ. Like, honestly, bro, I probably would have tried to force a layup, but I would have drew.
Yes.
Or I would have been able to, if he's not going to foul me, I'm able to still finish. Like, obviously, like
hang a little bit, brother.
Exactly, bro. Like, you at least, obviously, you got guys who are chasing you down. They're 6'7", they're fast, they'll get to the rim, so they might pin you stuff. But you would rather get pinned than do that because that's considered a turnover. Mm-hmm. A block is just a good hustle, a good play. But that's
you're considered being a turnover aggressive.
To me. Exactly. That's a turnover to me. And be honest with you, he even had a pull up, mid range pull up. Yeah, the guy was in the paint. The guy was in the paint, basically playing for the layup and playing the guy on the other side as well. So that's just stop, drop, pull up right there.
Mm-hmm.
Little stuff like that. And I kind of felt like my boy Steve Kerr left Jordan in trying to show him like he had confidence for him to play through it. But yesterday wasn't Jordan's night.
What do you think of Draymond still coming off the bench?
That can't happen for game seven. I'm sorry. Jordan can't start game seven. I feel like Jordan is so accustomed to coming off the bench at this point that, yeah, he know how to start in the playoffs because last year he had to start for Steph, but it wasn't long-term. So, obviously, that wouldn't be long-term, Draymond coming off the bench, but I don't feel like that need to be the same move for Game 7. I feel like we need to put all the chips where they lay. I feel like Dre and Looney need to start together, mm-hmm. and I feel like they need to just go back to the finals starting lineup last year.
I think so, too, just in the sense of banging with Sabonis, one. And two, like you said, like you've had an established starting lineup for how many years, honestly? Like, everyone's comfortable in their own role. And honestly, Draymond coming off the bench isn't necessarily a negative, just in his style of play. Like, he's cool coming out there and doing what he does off the bench. But like you hinted at, like, I think Jordan is just better suited to come off the bench for the way the roster is constructed right now. Now, right. Obviously, if he was on a different team, things could be different. He could be a starting two guard, one guard, whatever you want to put him at. But on this roster, I feel like he's best suited coming off the bench and just playing more free-flowing.
This is my thing, bro. Looney can guard. I mean, yeah, he gets beat. Everybody gets beat. But I don't understand why we keep trying to – I mean, yeah, okay, Draymond asked to come off the bench. He didn't want to mess the chemistry up. But now, like, why are we still doing that? That was for that game. I feel like it should have been. Like, why would – I mean, I'm not saying this ain't going to be their lineup. But why wouldn't we go him and Draymond in? Because who's their small forward? I mean, their power forward. Sabonis is the center, and who's their starting power forward?
Murray.
So why wouldn't we have Draymond in so Draymond can lock that up? Because Murray –
Who's been sniping?
Exactly. Like, and we've been having to put Wiggins on him and then try to throw Wiggins from him to
Harrison
to Fox and Barnes. You know, like, why can't we establish who we want to guard? Because then we got Clay and Stephen together, and then we could put Clay on De'Aaron Fox, or we could put Clay on Harrison Barnes and put Wiggins on Fox. Like, I'm just thinking like that, because obviously it sounds that simple, but it's harder to stop and harder to make game plan for. But I just feel like we need to use our experience to our advantage.
Like, they're making it a little more difficult than it has to be. And now it's game seven on an opposing team's home court. It's the first time this team has been in the playoffs in how many years? The whole light the beam spectrum is huge. Like, they're
since 2006.
They're going to be very arena, and it's going to be hard to take them down in game seven. Like,
think of all the things that's on the line. They're playing a defending champs at home to beat them and knock them out. Their head coach was just the assistant coach for the defending champs last year.
Mike Brown.
They have not been in the playoffs since 2006. Those are all the antics right there to help, you know, why they need and want to win. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just the Warriors made it tough, like you said.
I do want to bring up one thing in regards to the Kings. Jalen Rose brought this up, I think, after game – it was either game one or game two, which I liked. He said, with De'Aaron Fox playing on the West Coast, one, playing for the Sacramento Kings, two, where they really didn't get much media coverage and just overall TV outlet coverage, a lot of people haven't seen him play since his Kentucky days. So I am happy that he's able to kind of put on a show and do what he's supposed to be doing in this setting, regardless of the injury stuff. But I think people are realizing, like, okay, he was worthy of being an all-star this year.
I love and I hate him.
I know. Well, it's like, tough for you right now.
It's because he's a Kentucky boy, him and Malik Monk. So it's like, even Trey Lyles. So you gotta obviously go with your boys. But then it's like the way they talking shit and just,
I know.
You know, it made me like want to just go on the court and guard him myself so I can get cooked. But it's like, at the end of the day, you got to respect it, man. I love it for them because, like you said, they wasn't getting that. And Malik Monk bouncing from team to team. He was with the Lakers last year with LeBron, and they felt like he wasn't being as productive as he
could have been
expected. And, you know, it was a lot of things, and a lot of them guys for the Kings is basically like trade-offs, you know, guys who people felt like wasn't doing up to their thing, and all they needed was the right team and coaching.
I mean, shoot, even Sabonis, he was traded there, which is kind of crazy.
But... and they didn't like that trade at first. So, you know, as much as I hate it, bro, at the end of the day, I'm going to be mad, obviously, because my boys lost in the first round, and I felt like they were experienced.
Haven't lost yet. You'll see. We'll see what happens, bro.
Of course, but you know, I just like experience.
Should have just made a series early, easier, ended earlier. But you know, at the same time, you got to respect the Kings because, like, I've quoted on, you know, multiple outlets saying that they deserve respect this year. So, who am I to get mad now because you know they're competing with the Warriors? And I've been saying it, so you know, it's good basketball either way.
Basketball. Staying in the West, bro, I mean, the Nuggets took care of business against the T-Wolves pretty easily, 4-1. I don't think we have to talk about that series too much.
That was the worst boring series ever.
Yeah, I mean,
we can skip that. You can Anthony, just leave it at that.
Anthony Edwards did his thing. I don't know. He's trying out there. Cat's just not really holding up his end of the deal, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
The Phoenix Suns defeated the injured Clippers 4-1. So the Nuggets and the Suns, that'll be a pretty competitive series. That'll be a high-level, interesting series. I think the Nuggets are definitely going to battle Phoenix more than a lot of people think, at least the casual NBA fan thinks.
Yeah, I think it'll go six. But this is why it could go seven, is the Suns been playing Devin Booker and Kevin Durant for 43-plus minutes.
They've been grinding.
So you had to do that just to get past the Clippers. What you going to do to get past the Nuggets?
Against, the like I said, an injured Clippers roster.
Exactly. And you playing the number one seed now. With most likely, he could possibly be the three-time MVP, Jokic. Also, you know, I just don't feel like they got nobody who could stop KD and Booker, though. But at the same time, Jokic, Murray, and
Gordon?
Nah, the other one. What's his name? Porter. He's you know, if they're on like they've been playing,
they're
bro,
tough, bro.
Like they're tough.
The Nuggets are another team where, like, I mean, myself included, like, they're on the West Coast. I don't really watch them that much unless it's the playoffs. So, like,
they play good basketball.
Yeah, the more I've dove into it over the last couple of weeks, like, yeah, they play team-oriented ball, and obviously they have a superstar center in Jokic where he's able to distribute, score, rebound, literally do whatever he wants on the court at his own pace, which is always fun to see.
Right.
Nuggets and Phoenix, that's going to be a great series moving towards the second round of the Western Conference playoffs.
For sure.
On the east side, because we don't want to be on here too long, the 8-seed Heat upset the number 1-seed Milwaukee Bucks 4-1. Your boy Jimmy Butler went crazy. But we got to give our praise to Coach Spo, as we always do as well.
He's just showing why he's still the coach post D-Wade and LeBron and Chris Bosh. That's as simple as that.
Do you like the whole Michael Jordan and Jimmy Butler comparison?
No. I hate it.
It's I see where people are trying to spin with it and run with it, but
he haven't won nothing to be able to say that part.
I mean, he's obviously a dog, and like he's a true competitor, and he plays his best basketball when the big lights are on, right, which I enjoy. But like you said, there's levels to the whole winning aspect of basketball as well.
Because we're not gonna get on that Jordan and all that aspect. But listen, okay, he had help. But at the end of the day, when Jordan had to carry them, Jordan was the one that helped. Jordan was the one that won the game, we might as well say, right? Jimmy is winning games, but Jimmy hasn't won the championship. And I wouldn't even say MJ, to be real with you. I compare him to D-Wade, the younger Flash.
I like that.
The younger Flash.
I do really enjoy watching Jimmy play, though. Like, I respect him to the fullest.
He's a dog, bro. And you saw the dog in him. Like, they was down how many points he was still out
talking
there talking shit. And then when he talked – I don't even know. Listen, Jimmy was pointing at Drew, but maybe you saw it. I didn't. I don't even know why he walked up to him and pointed in his face. He wasn't even guarding him. So why he walked up to Drew and did
I didn't get the whole – I didn't get that whole aspect either.
Didn't get it, but that's turned his team up and him up, bro. And it's just like, you see the – he got the culture that they, you know, they carry there. He fits it. And he's carrying – you can see it resonate off of him to his teammates.
Then we do got to talk about Giannis's exiting interview.
Loved
it. He was basically saying, like, you're not going to win every year. Me and you, we're working normal 9-to-5 jobs. You're working towards getting a raise. You're getting – a different benefit package, whatever you're trying to accomplish throughout your standard job. Do you get that every year? No. Is that you're a failure? Not necessarily. You're working towards the next year. So,
right.
I mean, you were the number one seed. You guys should have capitalized. You should have won the series, but injuries came into play, and Miami played good basketball. I mean,
in reality, what do people say when LeBron don't play? They lost because LeBron wasn't there. Now, what makes – I mean, yes, they played the AFC, but Miami's not a slouch AFC. Miami could have competed for the third and fourth seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just had some slips and downfalls. So let's be real. Giannis didn't play, what, two or three of the games?
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt in game one, like probably second or third quarter. Mm-hmm. So he misses the rest of that game. He misses game two. He misses game three. And he came back for, what, game four, five?
Yeah.
So come on. Yes, they was number one seed. They probably still should have won as number one seed. But when Giannis ain't out there, that is a whole big difference.
So it's a different team, bro. You can't. You don't have the comfort of Giannis protecting the rim. You don't have the comfort of Giannis being able to grab the basketball and take three dribbles, the full length of the court, and dunk on literally anyone in front of him. Like right. there's things that he does that no one else in the world can do. So yeah, man, Milwaukee, they'll be back. All the talks of them firing their coach based off this loss.
And he bought them a championship after 50 years.
I think that's very laughable because, I mean, what are we talking about here? Your superstar was hurt.
Okay, so let's be real. He wins a championship in 2021 after 52 years. And then he turns around and loses to the Celtics, who was a great team.
Mm-hmm.
In what, the second round? And then he loses the next year. Post championship, so 2 years after the championship, he loses in the first round with a hurt Giannis. If the staff was looking to fire him after he bought them a championship after that long, they don't deserve to have him.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And it's that simple as that.
Agreed. Now, the Miami Heat, so they're moving forward. They'll be facing the New York Knicks after they beat my Cleveland Cavaliers 4-1.
That hurt.
That was all I'm gonna say is, bro, we mentioned it with the Grizzlies, which not comparing the Cavs to the Grizzlies because they're on some BS, but the Cavs, their lack of playoff experience was very, very evident.
Yeah.
The full blown attention to Donovan Mitchell because he was the only one that seemed at least somewhat comfortable in the, I'll say, game one, game two. He had definitely had slip-ups throughout the series, but he was literally getting double, triple-teamed throughout the entire game, every single game. Garland put on a show most nights, but still his inability to capitalize on certain situations throughout the game, some misdemeaning turnovers that I think a more established point guard wouldn't have made came into play. Evan Mobley looks shell-shocked out there. He did look timid. He started to get his grounding in the later half of the series, but still, it was just too late. We'll be back. I'm not too worried, to be honest. It's literally our first season with Donovan Mitchell, with a perennial superstar. It's our first series and season with those younger guys getting this playoff experience. We just need a true wing. Isaac Okoro, he is a good basketball player. He's a good slasher and defender. But if we don't have a three that can reliably knock down an open jump shot, we're not going to win.
So, facts.
That's just really like I'm ranting, but that's we're, nah, we're, that's cool. Facts. We're cool. Like all the Cavs fans I've been seeing on my timeline that are just throwing straight hate towards JB and the roster that's constructed right now is stupid. We just had a very successful season.
Exactly.
Bro. We weren't championship bound just because Donovan Mitchell came. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, just because he came don't mean y'all was supposed to have the season they had.
Right.
So let's take the time to sit back and be grateful that Cleveland basketball is back without LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, bro, I went to the game on the 20th against the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Game was jumping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and only reason why if they didn't have Donovan Mitchell, you know, and they had Garland and a lot of other bums, the only reason why the tickets probably would cost a lot that game was because Stephen was there.
Right.
And not because, you know, the Cavs was actually a good team themselves. So the tickets is already going to be crazy next year. Mm-hmm. They're already going to be looking forward to a big season. And who knows who they could try to land to get there this offseason.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I hate NBA fans or basketball fans, sports fans that, like, react solely in the moment. It's like, dude, look how successful we were this year and even last year compared to the last, what, 5 years?
And look, like, at the reality of the situation. That's, you know what I mean? Like,
the Knicks are a good team.
And they got a lot of guys who got the experience. Like Jalen Brunson was just in the Western Conference Finals last year.
They've made the playoffs. All those guys have been in the playoffs the last three plus years. So it's like I didn't go into the series too highly, like too, like, oh, we're gonna walk all over the Knicks, because I was at the last regular season game against the Knicks a couple weeks ago. I know what the Knicks bring to the table. They have a good coach and Coach Tibbs. They have a solid roster. They have two all-stars in Brunson and Randall. Like, I'm not mad about the Cavs overall season. And nah. I think the Knicks and the Heat will be a better series as opposed to the Heat and the Cavs. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, bro, for sure. You know, it's good basketball either way. So, the best team won at the end of the day, like we always say.
Mm-hmm. Two more series. 76ers swept Brooklyn pretty easily. The series has been over for what it feels like 2 years. They haven't played in forever. They'll be playing Monday night against the Boston Celtics, who just wrapped up their series against the Atlanta Hawks 4-2. That's going to be a good series, Philly and Boston.
I want to see if James Harden actually play like he's interested now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that he's playing somebody that's competitive and, you know, could possibly beat them, now I want to see where he's at, like his mind state, how he's playing, how he's looking. Because he's been looking like real, like non-carish. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, bro, I don't even know if he want to play basketball. That's the point. That's the feeling he gave me.
Mm-hmm. No, I get the same vibe. And you know Boston's going to be coming headstrong with Marcus Smart, JT, JB. Like, they're not going to walk into any arena and just casually play the game of basketball.
Nah, they're coming to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, honestly, I felt like I had them coming back out the East. And now that Giannis is gone, I really got them coming out the East again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was my same mindset. Although the Hawks did challenge them, I didn't think they would make it go to six games.
I did. I seen it. Honestly, I feel like it would go to six is because I felt like they was probably going to win the first two at home. I didn't think they would get one at Boston. But, yeah, you know, that first round, they always are sluggish. But now they're playing somebody, you know, I feel like they know that could really knock them off their base. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like they lock in a little more this one.
I'm going to end the episode on this question. Do you think the NBA playoffs, just the first round, should it be a best of five series versus best of seven?
Yeah. Because it's so boring watching teams like the Nuggets beat up on the Timberwolves mm-hmm. for seven games. So, well, four games, but come on, bro.
Well, like I just said, like Philly hasn't played in how long?
Which is actually a good thing for them because, don't forget, Joel got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But
for sure. I think a best of five series would also help the underdog, to be honest, because it's less games to win, obviously.
Like, true.
I think it would be better for the league as a whole. It would speed the playoffs up. Because, I mean, it's not like March Madness where it's one and done and there's a next game, the next game, the next game. Like, it's pretty free-flowing and it goes pretty quick. Where low-key, the NBA playoffs, they kind of drag things out, which it's a business. They're trying to make money. I get it. But right. I think to promote high-level competitive ball, just the first series, I would like them to transition to five games, but I don't know if that would ever happen.
No, I agree, though, because you got to think about it. They're trying to dimm down the games, right? So they've always played 82 games. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to dimm it down to, like, what, 70-something? So if you think mm-hmm. about it, they play those plus the play-in game plus the playoffs. They still average over 100 games they play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you don't really cut the games down.
It would help with the whole load management thing. More guys would play. But
that's something we got to talk about.
But what do we know, bro? You know what I'm saying?
For sure. We got to hit up Adam Silver, man. We got to make it happen ourselves.
All right, bro. Well, I think that was a smooth episode 84. First EP back in a minute, but you know we're still here. Shout out to the new Spotify for Podcasters app that's letting us create here. Shout out to Apple Pod. Hopefully that transition will go a little quicker now. Hopefully.
We're praying about it.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Shout out to everybody that's been tapping in, that's been reaching out to us. You got anything to say before we sign out here, brother?
Nah, man. We just appreciate everybody for giving us our space and time. But we back. We're going to put this up. I'm going to tap in with you, bro.
It was good to record again, bro. For real.
Yeah, for sure, man. We're going to get this up so we can, you know, talk about what we didn't talk about.
Yes, sir. All right, brother.
All right, bro.